Just wanted to read as we review and look at this week of Passion Week and starting with his triumphal entry. I wanted to just read John 3:16, so familiar. It begins to show us one of the purposes that he came. It says, God so loved the world. See, God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And those of us that have, we have everlasting life. So again, as I was sharing, many of the things that we preach and talk about in Christendom and we confess occurred from this time of Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem and what we now call Palm Sunday. So the events of his final week of life, Palm Sunday, the Last Supper, the trial, his death and his resurrection, are foundational to our lives. That's what we believe. And so we want to focus on these events. And as we were sharing, he knew what he was going to have to do and undergo. And the purpose was to fulfill the Father's plan. In John 6:38, he said, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." That was his will. His purpose was to do the will of the Father. So he concentrated on doing the will of the Father, not on all of the attacks that he was faced with. And so he focused. He never got distracted from that purpose. And we shouldn't either. You know, there's a lot of distractions, can be a lot of attacks going on in our life, different things. And we need to not get distracted from who we are and that we have authority and dominion in this earth. So this commemorates, today, Palm Sunday commemorates Jesus Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And it was foretold by the prophet Zechariah. So if anybody has your Bible app or your Bible, if you have a Bible, you can go to Malachi, go back one book, and you'll hit Zechariah chapter 9. Verses 9 through 10, and this actually is what was prophesied by Zechariah. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. It says, "Rejoice greatly," this is Zechariah 9, verse 9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem. And the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the north." You know, it's interesting. There's so much, you know, that you could just read by. Has anybody ever thought or had a question? Maybe you never did. But has anybody ask the question, why did he ride on a colt? Why did he ride on a donkey? There's significance to that. And if you look, when we just read here, when it said he rode a donkey into Jerusalem And what did it say in Zechariah? Rather than a war horse. So when you, throughout Scripture, it shows that leaders rode horses if they rode to war. But if they rode a donkey, they came in peace. So when he rode a donkey, he was signifying, I'm coming in peace to those he came. But in Zechariah, it talks about war horses. So if you went out to battle, you rode a horse. And they knew that. This one's not coming for peace. He's coming to kill and to war, you see. And so you can see this. Anybody want to write this down? 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 33. It mentions Solomon riding a donkey on the day he was recognized as the new king of Israel. He rode a donkey. He came in peace. And there are other references in Scripture of those riding donkeys signifying they were coming in peace. Now, the disciples, you know, Jesus spent a lot of time this last week from this point of entering into Jerusalem in his triumphal entry, and through the week, Jesus was forecasting and telling his disciples what was about to happen. And so we can see that in Matthew 20 and verse 17 and 18. He shares this in Matthew 20 with his disciples. And he said, and Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. So he laid it all out for them. They didn't want to hear it, but he laid it all out. He told them, this is what's going to happen. This is the reason I'm coming, and this is what these people are going to do to me. See, so he laid it all out. So again, he knew who he was, why he came, and what it would cost him. He knew what it was going to cost him. And sometimes, you know, we need to remind ourselves that it, because it cost him, there's some things in walking as a Christian that is going to cost us some things. And yes, we have the name of Jesus. Yes, we overcome, but there are going to be some fights. There are going to be some battles. It may cost something. Cost him something. Now, Luke, want to just look at a few scriptures on what Jesus and some of the what Paul wrote. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10 says, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So he shared through his life here, those 3 years that he was on the earth, he shared those, or that 3 years that from the time he was baptized of John in the water. Now, John chapter 1, and this is talking about John the Baptist, because we know he was here 33 years, but those 3 years from the time he was baptized by John till he was crucified. John, in chapter 1, and verse 29, says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So all of these things were being unfolded, were being revealed about Jesus as to who he was and what he was here for and what he was about to do. All being unfolded and revealed. And John chapter 1, and of course, we just read verse 29. But in verse 14 of that same chapter, and it said, "And the Word was made flesh and what? Dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill but and to destroy, but what? I am come." So here he's sharing. "I'm come for what? That you might have life and have it more abundantly." Glory to God. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2. I know I'm going down, but these are just revealing who he was, what his purpose was. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2. "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." 1 John 3, 5, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." You know, I read this, we're just to jump over here for a minute, in 1 Peter, let me just go over here. Well, we'll get over there. I'll look at that in a moment. 1 John 3:8, it says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested." And what does it say? "That he might destroy the works of the devil." So he did destroy the works of the devil. So that means all of the influences of the devil have been destroyed. So that means he has no power over you. He has no power over your life. He has no power. All he has the power to do is to deceive. That's all he can do, is to get you to think that what God said is not true. That's what he did with Eve. Half God said. And he hasn't changed that. So all the things that God has promised us in his word are yea and amen. They're mine to receive, and I have to receive them how? By faith. I have to take them by faith, believe that I receive them, and say so and confess it until I see it. And the devil comes in usually and says, "You'll never have that. You'll never get it. It's not working. You'll never own it. You'll never get it. You'll never have it." And you need to speak up and say, "You're defeated. I believe by faith, and faith overcomes the world." Faith is the victory. And Jesus, this is why it's so wonderful to reflect on these things, and we'll look at Mark chapter 11, but he overcame every obstacle that he was faced with. And he was what? A man like us, without sin. And so he gave us authority here to overcome. So what is he referred to in, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he's referred to as the second Adam. So all of the things that Adam messed up was restored to us and back to us through Christ. So I can walk on this earth as ruling and reigning. I believe that's, let's look at Romans chapter 5. I believe Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 says that. says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one," and it did, "much more," say much more, "they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness," we've received that, "shall" what? "Reign," say reign, "reign in life by one," Jesus Christ. So I reign, I overcome. Hallelujah. How? Through Christ. Through Christ. So all that he suffered, all that he went through this week was for us to reign. Not be defeated. Not come up short. Now we may, some of us do. We do from now, time to time. We come up short because we let go of the promises of God. Or we don't take hold of them. See? But he's overcome, and because he did, I can. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. We're living through him. I think so often, see, this is the wonderful good news that we have. The world's blind. And that's what it says, that the God of this world has blinded the minds. 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's blinded the minds of them that are lost, lest they would be what? They'd see the gospel. We are the ones that are to share the good news of the gospel, that Jesus came, he died for your sins, he's redeemed you. All you have to do is receive it, and it becomes activated in your life. You become born again. What causes that to happen? Faith. Faith in him caused the power of God to be released in me to become a brand new person. Well, that same faith that caused the power of God to redeem me is the same faith that causes the power of God to heal my body. It's the same faith that causes the power of God to open doors of prosperity for me. It's the same faith. And the same name and the same power, hallelujah, that overcomes. Glory to God. And so he was what? A legal substitution for mankind, and it was not possible without an incarnation. So there was a merger of humanity and deity. So this God-man merger happened, and so an incarnation of deity and humanity was required. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and he possessed a body such as Adam, that Adam had in the garden. So let's jump down. 1 Corinthians, well, I'm not going to go there, but I was referring to this. 1 Corinthians 15:45. The first Adam became a living person, but the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. But let's take a look at Mark chapter 11. Those first few verses, verses 1 through 11 in the King James Version. And this really lays out this Passion Week. So all of these scriptures that we sometimes focus on confession, with Mark 11:22, "Have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And if you stand forgiving, Or, and then it goes on. Well, that's verse 25. But all those scriptures are preceded by this entry. So let's read this. Mark 11, starting in verse 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. You know, if you've ever been to Israel, I've been a few times. You know, the church here, we went a number of times. I went back in 1986. Actually, I think it was, 86, before they had the, down in Jericho, they had that whole uprising, that intifada, and all of that mess down there. I went then, and then I went again in 94, and it was difficult to get down to Jericho and all of those areas because of that. But these stories come to life. And verse 2, it says, And saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, why do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus commanded, and they let them go. See, so all this transpired before his entry into Jerusalem. And they brought the colt to Jesus, cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, or the evening, and he went out unto Bethany with the 12. So he went from Jerusalem back to Bethany, which is about 2 miles away on foot. And then it goes on, and it says, and on the morrow, see, so they're when they were come from Bethany, so they went from Jerusalem, they went back to Bethany. Now from Bethany, they're coming back again into that area. And it says, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Now, isn't it interesting to me, you know, if you grew up, let me ask you something, you all grow up in this area, you know when the time for apples are, right? So you know, you don't go out there in winter, you don't go out there in spring. You know when it's time for peaches. You know when it's time for blueberries. You know when it's time for plums. You know when it's time, right? So he had to have known when it was time for figs, right? He had to have known. He grew up in that area where fig trees were. And so for him to come upon something, it had to have been something that the Lord led him to for the purpose of sharing something, right? An example for us. And Jesus answered and said, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple, began to cast them out, them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught them, or saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But you have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all of the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. So here really begins to unfold a little view here that Jesus, you know, sometimes when there's a transition from one dispensation to another dispensation, there is a merging, there's an overlap of one dispensation of another. So they're still not in the church age. They're still under the old covenant. They're under the old dispensation. So the new dispensation, the church era, has not started yet. So there's really an overlap. So you see here, Jesus is really forecasting something here. He's really showing something. He's saying, you can do that. Well, that wasn't possible. That's the doctrine that got him in trouble. He was revealing to them something that was about to happen. After his resurrection, he gave us authority in him. But up to that point, you had no access to God except through who? The prophet, the priest, or the king. You didn't have access to God. So that's when he said, have faith in God. They're like, what? How's that happen? And then when he said, what? When he went on to say, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's foreign. That is really foreign, because everything that needed to be done, think about it. When they sinned, who was the one they went to have their sins resolved? The priest. And they made sacrifices. So there was no approaching God. So here Jesus is saying, have faith in God. And they're like, what? And that really stirred up a hornet's nest, did it, with the religious leaders. So isn't this wonderful? We begin to see this. This is what we have today. We live in this. This is our life right here. This is what we believe. So all of this happened this week, where he marched into Jerusalem, and at that same time, he's unfolding and beginning to reveal what's about to happen. The authority that they would have. Isn't that exciting? This is just exciting to me. Now, when you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all have similar accounts of Jesus' triumphal entry. And most of them don't refer to palm branches. But John does. So I want to just take a look here. John 12:12 and 13. John chapter 12, And verse 12 and 13 in the King James says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. So the Gospel of John is the only gospel that specifically mentions palm branches. And the palm branch was a symbol of triumph and victory. So really what the people were actually doing, see, this is, it was the understanding of what the people were actually doing that angered the rulers of the Jews. The people were hailing Jesus as their Savior. They were referring to him, hailing him, Hosanna, to the highest. So he stirred up some things where the religious leaders were concerned, but this was all a forecasting of things to come. And the palm branches, you can, this in Leviticus, on the actual, and also I believe in 1 Kings, it refers to palm branches. If you look, and I think it's in Leviticus, where it was talking about the temple, palm branches were carved into the doors of the temple. So there was some symbolism there. Now, again, here's something else to refer to. Revelation. This is a great multitude that can't be numbered. This is the church in heaven. And Revelation chapter 7 and verses 9 and 10. And this is referring to the church. This is us here. And Revelation 7, verse 9, it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb. That's us. And what does it say? Clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So that means when we get before the throne, we're going to have some palms. So there's some significance today. When we wave those palms, it's a forecasting of what's going to happen in heaven. We're going to hail him as our Savior. Glory to God. So just to kind of wrap up, you know, this week, he's referred to as our Good Shepherd. He said, I'll lay down my life. You know, this is one of the things Jesus, you know, one of the things we need to remind ourselves of, that Jesus, no sin entered had never touched him. So when he said in John chapter 10, we can look at this briefly, John chapter 10. I'm going to look at this in the New International Version. But John chapter 10 and verse 14, it says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. Isn't that wonderful? They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Verse 17, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. Now look at verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority. See that word? I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Hallelujah. So he partook of spiritual death, and he was our Savior, our Redeemer. But sin, he had to choose to let the Father cause him to become sin. That's why, where is that in 2 Corinthians? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Says 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 5:21, not 17. How God what? Made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he made him to be sin. So that means he took my sin, he took my sickness. So he chose to do that. He said, I have authority to lay down my life and authority to take it up. So that authority, he yielded to become sin for us. He didn't have sin, but he became sin for me. That's why, you know, when the devil tries to bring up your past and bring up all the stuff that you've done, you can laugh and say, no, he became sin for me. And he made an open show, Colossians says that. He made an open show of him triumphing over him, the devil, in the cross, making a public display of him. So we are redeemed. And so all of this is such a wonderful week to reflect on why he came. He knew why he was here. He displayed that, he revealed that, he shared it, and so we can walk in that. And don't, that's why I say, you know, the world is talking loud. And so if we can get our minds off of the noise, you know, I that's why I say a lot of times, this noise, turn on the TV, you walk in life, it's just constantly bombarding you with noise. And it's death-filled. There's no encouragement with it. It's all defeat, fear, fear. If there's anything that we've learned this past 2 years from COVID, it's a constant narrative of fear, 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 fear. And if you keep thinking about it and you keep meditating on it, you forget who you are. And it becomes... that noise becomes bigger than God. And you need to remind yourself, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Sickness and disease has been defeated. And the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. He dwells in me. And the same spirit that dwells in me quickens my mortal body. Where does he quicken my mortal body? In my spirit. He provides life for that spirit man, and it affects this physical realm. So this is why the devil wants us to keep talking about how big the problem is in this earth, so that it gives him access. It gives him the right to do what? Make it bigger. Make it worse. instead of the church in unity rising up. Now, I'm not saying be cavalier. I'm not saying be foolish. But what I am saying is don't fear. Don't fear. Don't fear. If God, see, we are led by faith. We're led by the Holy Ghost. We walk by faith and not by sight. So that means what? If the Holy Ghost says, don't go over here and put yourself in this setting, don't go over there. But I'm not going to walk through life everything fearing, oh my God, what about this and what about this and what about this? I'm not going to walk in life in fear. Jesus walked. He said, everything I do what my Father showed me and I do what he told me. So there were times he didn't go places. Not out of fear, but out of direction from the Father. And we need to live our lives the same exact way. Not walking in fear, not fearing some disease or some pandemic, but I'm going to walk through life filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with power, filled with God in me, not fearing. And I'm going to be led. I'm going to hear his voice. I'm going to say it. I hear you, Holy Ghost. I know who you are. You lead me. You guide me. You direct me in life. And so he's going to lead me to overcome. And so that's why I mean, don't be cavalier. Don't say, oh, God's filled with me and I'm going to walk over here and do something. Then that's silly. Then you're not doing, you're doing it presumptuously and not being led by him. You see. And so what am I sharing? We've got a great God. We've got a big God, and he's bigger. He said all power in heaven and earth he has. He holds the keys to hell and death. And so for us, don't let the noise of this world drown out your thoughts of God and drown out who you are. Because it's really easy. You know, if you keep looking at this and you keep listening to it, you become what you feed on. So you keep listening to this, you start, your opinions change. That's, you know, anybody who's in marketing knows that. That if you keep feeding people a narrative, they buy it. And you keep saying, oh, I want to buy one of those. I want to drive one of those. I want to wear one of those. Why? They're changing your thinking that you need to have it. How'd they do that? You constantly kept listening to it. If you didn't listen to it, you wouldn't think you needed it. Right? And people, you got to drink it, you got to eat it, you got to have it. Yo, man, you got to eat it. Everybody's chasing to go to this new place to eat. You never ate there before, so how do you know? You don't know. And so it's the same narrative. If we feed on the Word of God, if we keep feeding on who we are, then I'm not full of fear. I'm full of him. I'm full of faith. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and the Greek. So God is good, and he paid a big price by sending his son for us to walk in salvation, to walk in faith and not fear, and to overcome. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm excited because God is a good God. And the things that we desire, you know, the things that we see in this earth, the revival and the signs and the wonders and miracles, God wants to operate through you and me. Not somebody else, you. He said, you go lay hands on the sick. You go into all the world. You cast out devils. You know, I share this story every once in a while. I know, you know, I've had some experience, you know. It's not something that happens every single day. But I remember there was a family that, you know, was trying to help, and they were in a very tough situation. And I remember going, and at one time I was sharing the gospel with them, and they didn't want to hear it. They absolutely did not want to hear it. They said, can we talk about something else? And I said, sure, I'm not going to offend you. I mean, if you don't want to hear it, fine, we'll talk about the weather. You know? So I had to go see them in another couple of weeks. And in those 2 weeks, this is why we have been given, what is Matthew 18 and 18 and 19? It says, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Whenever you face an obstacle, you need to be using the name of Jesus and commanding the devil to take his hands off something. And so I needed to go back and visit this family, this husband and wife. And so in those 2 weeks, I said, Satan, you take your hands off of their mind in the name of Jesus. I bind you and forbid you to blind them to the gospel. So the next time I went back, I started sharing the gospel again. And after 2 hours, they received the Lord. You see, they were open. They just keep telling me, keep telling me, keep telling me, keep talking. There was no resistance. Why? Because I used the authority that was given by Jesus to us to take authority over demon spirits that blind people to the gospel. So don't get put off when somebody says, I don't want to hear that. You're on your job. Now, we're not there to preach and to proselytize, but when you have opportunities and people don't want to hear, take authority. Take authority. You know, I tell another story. My sister was getting married. She's still married to this gentleman after 30-some years, and I was home. She was going to a bridal shower with her friends, and her fiance was in the house, and I was in my room reading the Bible. This is many, many years ago. I was in my 20s. And so I remember I said, well, let's you know, go in the dining room, I think it was, and I was sitting there just sharing the word with him. Just sharing the word. That's all. Just talking light, sharing about God and the word of God. Not, you know, being pushy, but just sharing, just from my heart. And it stirred up something in him. Stirred up a demon in him. And I'm telling you, it caught me by surprise in the natural. I'm sitting. He jumped up from the table and he got right about here. Right here. And he beat his chest and he said, the devil lives in here. And it happened just like that. Just boom. You didn't have time to think. It happened so quick. And that quick, it best I can explain it, it felt like a coat dropped on me. It just felt like you felt like a coat, and it was his anointing. I knew it. I never experienced it before, and right up out of my spirit, right up out of here, didn't come out of here. You didn't think that fast. It just happened. Come right up out of here, and this is what I heard myself say. I'm not afraid of demons or devils. I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. Just that quick. And this is what he did. He walked out of the room, he turned his head down, walked around, and he was in our house for 3 days, and every time he would walk into a room where I was, he would turn and look away. He knew who was in me, and he knew the name of Jesus, and he knew the blood. He knew it. That's the power that we have in the name of Jesus. Demons will bow, whether they manifest like that, or demons that control cities and homes and territory. You have authority in Jesus to take authority and to walk in it. And that's the exciting thing that happened this week. All because of Jesus, because of his sacrifice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you today for this great week. We remember from the scriptures what you did through your son. We're so grateful. We thank you. And we purpose to not forget what you did, Jesus. We purpose to not forget that we are seated with you in a place of authority in Christ. And we thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing to us and unfolding to us again and again who we are. Thank you for all that you've overcome for us. Thank you that it's the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that we overcome with. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Glory to God. Well, before we leave, we don't know who's with us, and we don't know who comes and who goes and where people's hearts are. But we always give an opportunity for two things. One, for people to receive Christ as their Savior. That's number one. Two, anyone who desires the subsequent experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues. And also a third, anybody here that needs healing in their body and would like hands laid upon them. For we are anointed, we all are anointed to lay and call to lay hands upon the sick. So if there's anybody here that hasn't accepted Jesus as their Savior, let's just say this simple prayer, because the scripture says if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is the Christ, that he was raised from the dead, that we'll be saved. So let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I thank you for sending Jesus to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. I believe and say with my mouth that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior of the world. He took our sins to hell and our sicknesses to hell. And when sin and sickness was paid for, we were released from hell and raised from the dead. I receive him now as my Savior. I thank you that the blood of Jesus has cleansed me of all sin, and I now stand before God righteous in Christ. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. If anybody here to receive Christ, we have free information to give you. Also, if anybody is here that would like the subsequent experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost, you can also come after service and we will pray with you and you shall receive. Amen. And also, if anybody is here that would like prayer for anything in their body going on, we're here also. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. No one should leave here lacking anything. Lacking anything, because it was all paid for. Praise God. Father, we're so grateful today. Thank you for manifesting your presence here today. We thank you for filling our hearts with joy this week. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Let's say this, the word that I've heard is working mightily in me. Praise God. Have a good week. Glory to God.